In life, people demand all manner of comforts to live a life of ease. But a Christian's life is anything but a life of ease. Jesus said that the world would persecute Christians because they persecuted him. Today on Scandia Bible Church Podcast, Elder Frank Acevedo continues with his series in 1 Peter and shows us that this apostle gives encouragement to all when reviled for the name of Christ. And welcome to the Scandia Bible Church Podcast for Sunday, November 14th, 2010. We'd like to invite you to visit our website at scandiabiblechurch.org, where you can learn more about us, access past sermons, and can obtain the sermon notes for today's message. And now, let's join Frank Acevedo as he delivers his message entitled, Sharing the Sufferings of Christ.
Again, if you have your copy of God's Word with you, if you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 as we continue with our study and our look at what the apostle has written. I hope everyone is comfortable. One of the wonderful things of modern day technology is having a nice place to sit and research, study, to read, having a computer that allows me to access all different sites, all manner of sites to do my research and reading, to have lighting just so that I can see things and have a nice comfortable chair in which to sit and write. But I wonder about the Apostle Peter. Was he in a home, someone's home? Was he in a room at someone's home? Did he have good lighting? Did he have a table? And what did he write with? I've always wondered what they used for writing. Was it ink, or was it chalk, or was it, you know, something else? Was he writing on paper? Was he writing on cloth? Was he writing on sheepskins for those scrolls? But however he did it, however he put together his work, I'm sure it was not as easy as I had, or as any of you when you sit and read the scriptures. And especially when he's writing about suffering, as he's writing to the people of what's now modern-day Turkey. It must not have been an easy thing to think about, talking about suffering. And yet he did so, and he did so to encourage them. So as you've opened your Bibles up, we'll start in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. And we're just going to read to verse 14, although I believe this idea of his goes all the way to 19. And to do this justice, we'll just look at the first three verses. So verse 12, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. What seems to be our theme today, isn't it? Taking joy, rejoicing. Even through a fiery ordeal, as is written here in the NASB. So let me give you a quick overview of 1 Peter, of these three verses. And I see three points. Christians are not to be surprised by the degree of their testing, is point one to me. Point two, Christians are to keep on rejoicing through their testing. And point three, Christians are blessed, even if cursed, for being known by his name. And in all these things, we rejoice. In presenting the gospel to an unbeliever, do we ever introduce or explain the negative, you know, the cost of being a follower of Christ? Most of our tracts speak of sin, but what about the persecutions that afflict so many for their faith in God? Why do we never speak of this reality that confronts so many in the world today? Well, the apostle does not avoid this issue of persecution. In fact, he writes this letter to encourage and to strengthen their faith and by extension our faith in Christ so that they in turn and we in turn would be able to give an account of the hope that is in us. So in examining this topic of trials and persecution, Peter deals head on with something that has a real existence and must be dealt with in real life. And this certainly has not gone away for many Christians in the world today. And if we correctly and honestly present the gospel, as we should, we must, like the apostle, present this truth of testing in the life of a disciple. We are not to be surprised for the testing that comes our way, he writes. So in verse 12, beloved, do not be surprised. Well, you know, this is about testing. This is about the person being tested. In James 5:10, he writes, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Well, there's an excellent example, is it? Now, we could talk about these prophets and their sufferings until the end of time. You know, how they patiently endured this suffering. And as James brings them to mind, you know, we should go back when we go home and open up our Bibles and read about the lives of those prophets. Their biographies will bring us comfort. Yes, their sufferings will bring us comfort in times of our own struggles with trials. God did not leave them as orphans. He was with them at all times, and now they are eternally with him. And so the same will be true for us. Now, at the beginning of this book, Peter has already told us the purpose of the testing of the saints. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 6 through 9, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what's the result of this testing? We see it in verse 9. Obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. So there's a refining fire, Peter writes about here, something that refines us, and it's called a trial, it's called persecution, it's called testing. What's it for? It's so that we may have a faith that has been purified, that is, having the impurities such as sin removed so that we can grow in holiness. And the result is a remarkable one because our faith then saves us from the wrath of God. So back to verse 12. So the verse is saying, in effect, it's natural for the world to hate you. Do not think there is anything strange or unusual happening to you, because all of the apostles had already discovered this truth when the Savior warned them in John 15. If the world hates you, Jesus said, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And it's very interesting to note that Peter prefaced this warnings of future persecution with the same admonition that the Savior gave in his warning. In John 15, Jesus said, this I command you, that you love one another. And when we compare that to Peter 8, Peter wrote, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. And what's important here is the idea of maintaining unity and strength among the brethren in love and good deeds for each other. Anything less will ultimately destroy that unity. So, you know, we don't need persecution from within. We need to have this unity, this love for one another. Now, the Apostle Peter knows all about persecution, doesn't he not, for preaching the gospel, because he and the other apostles have experienced it firsthand. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are arrested and jailed for preaching. Ordered not to preach the gospel, they are released. In Acts 5, then, we see that persecution begin to escalate when they continue to preach the name of Jesus. The leading rulers of the time, the Sadducees, laid hands on the apostles and put them in a public jail. Back to jail you go, fellas. Verse 27, they're questioned by the high council. Peter responds honestly, and the council is angered by his response. They now intend to kill the apostles. Now in verse 40, after they received counsel from one of their own, they change their mind. They have the apostles flogged, which is 39 lashes, order them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they are released. Whipped in public for the name of Jesus. Well, how did these men react to being arrested and interrogated and flogged for the name of Christ? Acts 5:41. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Right on. James 1:2, familiar verse. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. So that brings us to our next point. But rejoicing through your testing, to keep rejoicing, even though you are suffering persecution. Well, how is the Christian suffering a sharing in the sufferings of Christ? Well, first, their sufferings, your sufferings, are caused by the same thing. Christ died for testifying under oath that he is the divine Son of God, and the Christians of Peter's day, who were confessing the same eternal truth, were due shortly to suffer, even as Christ suffered. When they rejected the pagan worship of their past, they were persecuted. When they refused to wallow again in the sins of the world, they were persecuted. When they submitted themselves to every human institution for the Lord's sake, they were persecuted. They couldn't escape persecution for the simple reason that Jesus had already promised it. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Well then, how does one rejoice when persecution hits you right in the face? How can beatings and arsons and public humiliation be cause to rejoice? We are to count it all joy because, as Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. The sufferings of the present time are insignificant when you compare them to eternal glory. Amazing. And what Peter is writing about here is the coming glory that will be revealed to us when we join Christ in his kingdom. Remember the end is drawing near that we spoke of last time? He has previously written in chapter 2, for this finds favor, Peter wrote, if for the sake of conscience towards God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, This finds favor with God. For momentary light affliction, as Paul put it, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, momentary light affliction, beating, scourging, chased out of town, your possessions confiscated and destroyed. That's all momentary light affliction when you compare it to eternal glory. And this future glory will exceed anything that we might have expected. And not only this, but when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory, Paul writes in Colossians 3:4. So the sufferings of today, because the life we live on this planet are so short in light of eternity, when you think of being revealed with him in glory, what an amazing thought. Where there are no tears, where there's nothing harmful to you. And we turn now to our third and final point. Christians are blessed, even if cursed, for being known by his name. So we've already seen that the relationship with the world is a very negative one. In John 15 again, 18 through 25, Jesus talking about the world hating us. We have observed that the only wrong that was alleged against these persecuted ones was that they accepted the faith of Christ. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, commonly known as the Beatitudes, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Rejoice and be glad, just like those apostles. Thank you for counting us worthy, Father, and allowing us to suffer shame in your name. Paul, the Apostle Paul, asked a very good question in Romans 8, verse 35. He asked, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" The answer, of course, begs this answer. No one. No one, of course. Who can separate us? Nothing and no one. And it will be profitable for us to take Isaiah chapter 51, verse 7 to heart. "Listen to me," God is speaking. "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, a people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at the revilings, at their cursings at you." And if the Lord says, "Don't be afraid," take it to heart. Don't be afraid. Well, how strong is your faith? Will something as simple as being reviled or cursed cause you to leave Christ? What about the hard test, though? Because throughout the world today, we have brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted right now for believing in the name of Jesus. And some of you sitting here are separated from family and former friends because you believed the gospel message. Peter is writing this to encourage us not to lose faith, but to grow in the knowledge that we are blessed. Blessings are ours for remaining faithful to Christ. It is so hard to remember when you are surrounded by hate. You are blessed because God has given to you His Holy Spirit to comfort you. John 14:17, Jesus speaking, the Spirit of truth, he says, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. What a blessing to have this within us, given to us, to comfort us, to guide us. Peter, writing of the Holy Spirit, talks of just this glorious fruit, is it not, of the indwelling Spirit that we Christians have, because it produces the vast spiritual strength that enables us to go on wearing the name of Christ, to go on being a Christian, to go on loving and believing in Christ in spite of being reviled and persecuted for it. John 16, Jesus said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me. The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. For he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. So with the Holy Spirit indwelling and guiding the church, we are to live in such a way that only brings glory to God. You recall Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, one of the more amazing testimonies in the Bible comes from the book of Galatians. We read in Galatians of Paul's testimony. He writes of his life before and after his conversion. In it, he writes, I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but only they kept hearing, he who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they were glorifying God because of me. The man who once persecuted the church, the man who once hunted down people to drag them back to Jerusalem for a kangaroo court and trial and judgment, is now preaching the gospel. And they were glorifying God, praise God, because of the change in Paul's heart. Well, you were once outside the body of Christ, and at your conversion, the angels rejoiced and gave glory to God. Why? Because another miracle had taken place. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. What a wonderful blessing we obtain to know that God is glorified because of our obedience to his commands, to faithfully walk in the footsteps of Christ. So then what conclusion do we come away with? James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So in a nutshell, which is James 1:12, this is what these three past verses reveal to us. Even though Peter deals honestly with the topic of persecution, at the same time, he encourages us to keep rejoicing, to enjoy being blessed for our faithfulness to God. These verses are meant to lift up our eyes to Jesus, to desire him, to obey him, to follow him, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Do not be surprised by trouble, but rejoice. Again I say, rejoice. God is for you, not against you. Christ Jesus, who is at the right hand of the Father, is also interceding for you. You are in the company of the Holy Spirit, and ministering angels. Blessing indeed for those found faithful to the commands of Christ, and manifold eternal blessings indeed for those found faithful to the end. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, "When he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day, and to be marveled at among all who have believed, we pray for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to look into your word and to understand what encouragement we receive from the apostle, that even in the midst of persecution, in the midst of trials, we are to rejoice and to count it but light momentary affliction when compared to being with you in your eternal glory. Thank you, Father, for that comfort. Thank you for that thought. Thank you that even though at this time whatever is troubling us, we have the Holy Spirit with us as we pray to you to guide us in all truth, to guide our footsteps as the Lord did, to be patient and yet be loving and kind and perform those good works that you wish us to do, that proclaim you as our Lord and our Savior. And in all things, Father, may our deeds, may the words of our mouth glorify you and glorify you forever. Amen.
Well, that wraps up our sermon for this week. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line through our contact page on scandiabiblechurch.org and let us know where you're listening from and how our church family can pray for you. Scandia Bible Church is located in the beautiful Northwest in Paulsboro, Washington. If you ever find yourself in our area, we'd love to meet you. So until next week, for all of us here at Scandia Bible Church, may God richly bless you.